Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Hey, for those of you who've been listening to the show for a long time, you know that Ken's voice is not Sherry's voice. And Sherry had been my co-host for a little over 3 years. Miss her already. She has ran off and going into the next stage of her life. But we give her a serious pat on the back for all the years that she was on the show. Great friend of the program. But now we have Ken. So, Ken, any of us in Indianapolis, well, most of us in Indianapolis would know the name Ken Dilger. But tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am originally from southern Indiana, a little town called Moriah Hill. I worked my way to the University of Illinois on a football scholarship and got lucky there and graduated with a marketing degree and actually got drafted by the Indianapolis Colts in 1995. Spent 7 years there. Then went down to Tampa Bay and played for John Gruden for 3 years. And so I ended up my 10-year career with a Super Bowl ring and a lot of good memories. So after that, kind of found my way into the mortgage industry. Been here for about 9 years now, and I currently work for Milestone Home Lending here in Carmel, Indiana.
Wonderful. And what brought you to Consider This?
Well, Joe, I know you have a good reputation here in Anderson, and looking forward to growing my network and maybe learning a little something along the way.
Well, hopefully we can get that done. I do kind of enjoy the teaching part, but it's, you know, it's fun to have the big boy voice on the other side of the mic, not just on mine. Here's the deal, though. It's this stuff is complicated. It is not simple. It is not easy. And at the Financial Enhancement Group, we take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. So my philosophy has been real simple. I'm going to tell you as much as I can to try to help you move in the right direction. At the same time, please keep in mind, you really need to be working with a financial professional, CPA, a fiduciary. I'm not a big fan of people who sell things. So not a brokerage world, but find yourself a fiduciary and pay attention to the show. I will try to give you some things that you should consider. And you know, whether that be about a Roth IRA, whether that be Ken talking to us about mortgages, regardless of what it is, we're going to do our best to bring you good ideas and good thoughts. Now, we're getting close to October. You're a couple days away when you're listening to this program, most likely. Please remember two things. One, October 15th is the last day your taxes can be filed. October 15th, and a lot of you are in extensions. Don't forget it. And it's also your last opportunity to do a Roth recharacterization. Remember, after 2017, you cannot do that anymore. 2018 is here. Your last opportunity is October 15th to make a change if the count happened to have gone down in value. You're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. We'll take a break and then get right into the show.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kontos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money in 5 key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week, we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark. And you're?
Ken Dilger.
Holy cow, the tight end has showed up. Now, seriously, if you're new to the show, my sidekick of 3 years has moved on to a better world, she calls it. Built a house, as you know, we've talked about, lived in it for less than 3 months, and then promptly ran off to Michigan to go spend some time with her family. And we're just so happy for Sherry. We will miss her. But Ken, welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you asking me to be on.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to start off right away with one of the critical elements that we talk about. So there are 5 areas, Ken, that I have found in my life that can destroy people financially. And we call them the 5 critical elements. So the first one is your life after work. Some people would call it retirement planning. It's really more than that. 2 is the annual tax plan. We'll talk a little bit about that today for sure. 3 is the investment playbook. 4 is life happens, the good and bad and ugly of life. And of course, 5th is the legacy plan. Some people would call it estate planning. But here's the deal. Legacy planning is more than just who gets what's left over. So, you know, Ken, we're close in age. Ken's about a month younger than my brother. So about 4 years part difference, but we are at that age of life where we have seen people not just die, but fade away. And that's really what happens when people come in to work on their estate plans. When I read the documents, and I don't know how much you've ever been involved with that, but when I read the documents, it's all about who gets what when I'm gone. And what I'm much more concerned about is who takes care of Ken when he can't. Right. We refer to it as a sandwich short of a picnic. The problem is it's kind of like our football. You know, you don't just get hurt all at one time. Right. It's the body breaks down over a series. And that's what happens to people mentally. And they start to go through those problems and those challenges. So you're in the mortgage world. And I'm not sure what the continuing education requirements are that you have to go through for your part. In my world. One would think of the 5 critical elements that I went through that legacy planning was probably the most stable, the one with the least amount of change. And it is clearly one that is fraught with change. There's things that consistently go on. So we've got a conference this week that I'll be at called Rethinking Wealth 2018 at one of the churches in Indianapolis, where we talk about charitable giving and legacy planning and of that nature, how you leave behind bequests. So here at the Financial Enhancement Group, we have a program that we call the Better Giver. And it's not my job to get you to give more. It's not about more. It's about giving better. And that's all about understanding how the Internal Revenue Service works, how the IRS works. So if I can get money to you because we pay less taxes, or if I can get money to your charity without the IRS getting involved, then life is better. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think everybody wants to give a little bit of money, but not pay the IRS as much as we should.
Yeah. So when you look at legacy planning, there's 2 sides. There's what I call the implied responsibilities, and then there's our hopes and wishes, right? So, Ken, if something were to happen to you, what have you thought through the estate planning side yet, the legacy planning?
Yeah, we did. You know, when I got drafted with the Colts in 95, my lawyer and my financial planner sat down with us. And so we have a living trust set up, and we have a living will. And so we've kind of need to update that probably after, you know, I have a daughter at IU now who's a freshman, and my son's a sophomore at Carmel. So it's always changing for us. But yeah, we took the time years ago and got it set up. And, you know, stuff you really don't want to talk about if something would happen to either myself or my wife, but it's something you have to do.
It has to be done. So you probably have 2 trusts.
Correct.
And so people, and here's one of the things that gets to be interesting, which you'll appreciate. When you had your trust set up, we didn't have a thing called portability. And so what would happen is if something happened to you and you didn't have a mechanism to have estate taxes charged, it would have automatically gone to your wife, and then she would have lost what we call that unified credit or exemption equivalent. about 2013 or 2014, a law came into place called portability, which essentially says if something happened to Ken and he didn't have one of those trusts in place, then your wife would still get to use your unified credit. It was really a great thing. But what it's led attorneys to do is to say you really only need one trust now because you don't have to worry about having that division, if you will.
Interesting.
Now I take a little bit of an exception to this, right? And it's not, I'm not picking on attorneys. I'm not an attorney. Don't play one on radio nor TV. But what I have found is my attorneys that I work with on the estate planning side are very, very good with inheritance tax, which we no longer have in Indiana, regardless of how much you have. We've got about $22 million between you and your wife that we can protect for free from the federal estate tax side. But there's still this thing of inheritance or of income tax. So let's say, Ken, you bought a mall, right? Because you're in the mortgage world and you go out and you buy a mall and it's a special mall. Instead of just producing a lot of income, you paid $1 million for it and it's suddenly worth $5 million. Okay? That appreciation that's there is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, let's say we took it and we put it in your trust, the one trust that just had you and your wife both on it. All of a sudden, something happens to Ken. He's gone. Now your wife's left over with the one trust and the mall property. She would get a step up in basis on half of that money. In other words, if your original basis, and whenever you hear the word basis, all that means is how much money did I put in after tax into the investment. So you put $1 million in, it had appreciated to $5 million, right? So you've got $2 million of growth in your name and $2 million of growth in your wife's name. And you die, your wife would get a step up in basis on half of that money. So now your basis would suddenly be $3 million, but if she sold it, she'd still have to pay taxes on $2 million.
Joe, let me ask you a question on that. Does it matter if it's less than 12 months or longer than 12 months, the short term or long term?
From an income tax standpoint, that always matters, but the step up in basis would still be the same. Okay, if she sold it, the taxes that she would pay on the $2 million would be much greater if it was less than 12 months than it would be if she held it longer. The point is this: we go back to this legacy planning concept, and again, most of us don't just die. About 10% of people die. 90% of us fade away. Okay, so we just had bad news that came to one of our families a couple weeks ago. So you go to the doc, and the doc says, "Ken, I hate to tell you this, but looks like you've got about 6 months left." Right? Now, most people do not think financially about this. They deal with, how do I say goodbye to my kids, my parents, my friends? What do I want to get off my bucket list? My job is to make sure that we're thinking about this to the best of our ability. And so what do we immediately do? Well, now we would want it all in just your trust. We wouldn't want it in a trust that had your wife's name on it anymore. Because when you pass away, and God's going to call us all home, when you pass away, now your wife would get a step up in basis on the entire amount instead of just half the amount. Okay? So there are reasons to have one trust. It is certainly simpler, easier, whatever the correct grammar would be. It is easier to have one. But there's still a valid reason to have two, depending on how your asset base looks and really what it is you're trying to accomplish. But here's the thing. You need to keep your documents updated. That's for sure. Right, you need to have an estate planning attorney, and that means somebody who does not do a divorce at 10, a lawsuit at noon, and tries to draft your trust at 3, right? You need a competent estate planning attorney. The documents need to be updated, but you really have to think this through from an estate tax standpoint on one side, but an income tax on the other. They are two different things, and we're going to talk about that in the next conversation we're getting ready to have. You got a question or comment, you can shoot us an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. You can always find our newspaper column there as well as other radio shows if you've got questions. Again, that's yourlifeafterwork.com. Ken and I will take a break, but we'll be right back.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
There we go. Hey,
Joe.
You know, it's 3 years of one person doing it. You just have expectations that are there. Speaking of expectations, Ken, at least once a month. I should probably say once a quarter now because it's becoming more known. But we would have people who would show up in our office with $1 million or more that didn't know they had to take money out of their retirement accounts. And when I bring in younger people, you know, I've got 25 people on our team, and my younger people come in and go, well, of course they're going to take money out of their retirement accounts. And the reality is 70% of money does not come out of IRAs or 401ks until people turn 70 and a half. And it's because we're hardwired to save money, you know. And so when some fat guy looks at you in Anderson, Indiana, and says you can now take money out, it just doesn't feel normal. Doesn't feel right. But what happens the year you turn 70 and a half? And the technical rule is actually the year after the year you turn 70 and a half. But when you at 70 and a half, you have to begin to take required minimum distributions. Now, what does that mean? Required means it's going on your tax return, whether you like it or not, right? You have to take it out. There is a minimum. And that's the part that confuses people. What's that minimum based on? So let's say you have $100,000 in your account. You turn 70 and a half. There is a life expectancy table that the IRS provides us. It's not been updated for 16 years. We'll get back to that in a second. There is that life expectancy amount says that at age 70 and a half, you've got to take out about 3.6% of the value of your account, or $3,600. Okay. Now, if you have
that on a monthly basis,
that's
or
annual, once a year, 3.6 over the course of the year, and you can take it anytime you want, but it is coming out, and the penalty is 50% for what you don't take out. Right. So they're serious about this. If you're married, by the way, that number goes from 3.6 down to about 3.45%. But here's the deal: most people would not hire me as a registered investment advisor if I only grew the money by 3.5% a year, right? I mean, we have bad years. I started 2 weeks before the crash in 87. We've had bad years. But overall, you would not be really pleased with an annual return of 3.5% year after year after year. Make sense?
True.
And each year that you're still here, you get older. Now, the way a life expectancy table works, that means your life is, by definition, shorter tomorrow than it is today. Yeah. I always ask people, what are we trading today for? Right? Because we only get one shot at this one. So every year you have to take out a larger percentage, plus I made the account grow, hopefully, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, right? So now we've got a larger distribution that we're taking every year. Now, again, at your young age, you're thinking, well, Joe, people put the money in the account to take it out. And what I'm telling you is after 31 years of doing this, people don't like to take the money out of the account.
Joe, I have a question for you. When they take the money out, what do they do with it? Do they spend it? Can they reinvest into something else?
So there's one of three things that happen. About 70% of the money that comes out of our required minimum distribution accounts winds up back in the hands of a charity in a thing that's called a QCD, or a qualified charitable distribution. So they're able to take money. It's part of our Better Giver program. They're able to take money directly from their IRA, and instead of receiving it and having to pay the income tax on it, they take it and they send it directly to a 501c3 entity, a not-for-profit, a church, a place of that nature. Some people pull it out and actually spend it. That would be the smallest of the group, believe it or not. The third, though, is they take it out, they pay the taxes, and they put it in what we would call a retail account. So it's not tax-deferred any longer, but it's, you know, it is what it is, right?
How is that money taxed, Joe?
At your marginal rate. So take whatever dollar you have. There is no such thing inside an IRA or a 401k. There is no such thing as capital gains. There is no such thing as interest or dividends.
Is it taxed as income?
It's taxed as income. Now, you don't have to pay Social Security tax on it, so you don't pay the FICA and the FUTA. But you do whatever your top rate is. The best way to think about our tax system is in a series of stair steps. And, you know, so you, me, Warren Buffett, we've all got some money that's taxed at 10%. And then it goes to 12, and it works its way all the way up to 37%. Whatever your top step is where that IRA distribution is added onto. So we've got an 86-year-old, and, you know, so I've taken care of the money for a long time. He did a really good job saving and accumulating, right? And the money has grown, but he's now in his mid-80s. And we have to pull $160,000 a year out of his IRA. And he looks at me every year with these big alligator tears. And he goes, Joe, what did I do wrong? You know, why does an 86-year-old have to pay taxes on $160,000? So this really burns some people. They get really, really frustrated. And it's emotional.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, you save all your life, and now you get penalized for making too much money and having too much in your account.
It feels that way. it feels that way. So I don't like talking about tax code that does not exist, because I think it gets people the wrong idea. What you have to understand, though, with taxes is that things do change. And so we have two pending things in legislation right now. The one that's getting all of the news is if you've got $50,000 or less, you may not have to take required minimum distributions any longer. That's not a big deal. The second one that they're talking about is extending the life expectancy, because, you know, they haven't updated it for 16 years. So let me ask you a trick question. Are we living longer?
I would say yes.
Yeah, by about 2 years, but that's it. People think we're living longer. What's really happening is more of us are living longer. So updating the life expectancy table for the Dilgers or the Clarks is not as big of a deal as people would think, but it would reduce a little bit of the payment. The big one, the big scary one that's there, is if something happens to me, Ken, and I die, my wife, Barbara, as a spouse, can take all of that money and roll it into her IRA. So the money that's in my 401k account can become hers, no problems, right? It's called a spousal IRA. Anybody else, including my two daughters, anybody else has to inherit the money, okay? So if you've ever seen an inherited IRA, that's what it is. And regardless of your age, with an inherited IRA, you have to begin to take the required minimum distribution. So at 40 years old, 50 years old, your parents pass away, you have an inherited IRA, you have to take out the required minimum distribution.
As soon as you get it?
As soon as you get it. That year, you are on the clock, as they would say. Now, here's the interesting part, and it's why beneficiaries matter so importantly inside of 401ks and IRA plans. If you've done that, then your beneficiary can take that money out over their life expectancy, just like you would if it was your own IRA. The problem is, if you haven't got the right named beneficiary, all of the money has to come out within 5 years. And so we call that the stretch IRA. The biggest news in Congress right now is there's a Senate legislation that's going through that's trying to eliminate the stretch IRA, meaning if you've got $1 million in your 401k, your wife can get it, but your kids, if they got it, they would have to pay all of the taxes on that money within 5 years, as opposed to being able to stretch it out over their lives. So that is a big deal and something that's very, very important for people to understand. Again, this hadn't happened yet. It's just some of the things that they're considering or worrying about, I guess, if you will, inside of Congress. So if you've got a question or comment, you can shoot us an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. Always happy to answer your questions. If you go to yourlifeafterwork.com, don't forget to sign up for the market cover. That's our weekly market conversation. You'll notice we don't talk about the stock market on this show. We do that on the market cover, and you can sign up. It's free. Again, yourlifeafterwork.com. Ken and I will take a break. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. For the last 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share that with you, what we use to protect more than 700 families, more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry before the crash in 1987, and I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and as a trusted advisor for the last three decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, and you can reach us at yourlifeafterwork.com.
And here's today's BRP safety tips. Riding outdoor recreational vehicles can be fun. These safety tips can help make your outdoor experience safe and enjoyable. Enroll in a motorcycle, ATV, snowmobile, or water safety course. Depending on the vehicle, always wear protective gear. Helmets, life jackets, goggles, long sleeve shirts and pants, and gloves will help keep you incident free. Always stick to the correct and legal number of people on your outdoor machine. And now a word from BRP.
It's time for the Yellow Tag sales event at your local BRP dealer, where you can save big on new Can-Am off-road vehicles. Can-Am vehicles were made to perform and make the most out of any challenge. And right now, quality costs less, because you can save up to $2,000 on select Can-Am vehicles. Just stop by your local BRP dealer right now before the Yellow Tag sales event is gone. Offer ends September 30th, 2018. Certain conditions may apply. See dealer for details.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Good morning. I'm Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you all around. We are talking about money. So, Ken, somehow or another, I wound up doing some work with Investopedia. It's a great place to go to get some of your financial questions answered. They put me in the top 100. I'm still not sure how. And so we get questions. And I thought it was interesting. I'm going to have you read this question. But I got this question in an email from one of our families almost the same day. So go ahead and fire off the question.
Question is, my sister had an individual retirement annuity with a death benefit. She recently passed away. The money went to an IRA of mine. I have to split this amount with another sibling. And I need to know what would be the best way to do this. In this situation, would it be possible to gift her the amount?
A lot of working parts and a very simple question. The email I got earlier this week came from one of our families. He was inheriting $80,000, and the question was very simple. I'm getting $80,000. Is it taxable? Right? And that's really what everybody wants to know. But it's not that simple. So let's break the question down. Her sister had an individual retirement annuity. So some broker sold her an annuity. And that was tax deferred, but it's really an IRA. So you have two things that are working. You have annuity rules and you have the IRA rules. If it's an IRA, the IRA trumps those rules, trump the annuity rules. Okay. So the, when you think about it, the tax implication is the most far piece out of the pie, if you will. So the IRA matters more than the annuity. The annuity did have a death benefit. Most of the time, if you buy a variable annuity, the death benefit can never be less than the amount of money that you put into the IRA. So still not a good plan. Stay away from them. They make brokers not have nice cars, not you have a nice retirement. She recently passed away and the money went into an IRA of mine. That never should have happened. So if that happened, I'm sorry, we just talked about it in the last segment. A spouse can take money and put it into their IRA, right? He has to have an inherited IRA. And the bottom line is, if that money ever touched his IRA, it became fully taxable.
What is that tax bracket for fully taxable?
Again, it would be whatever his 50%? Top marginal... No, that's the penalty.
Penalty.
Right? It would be whatever his top bracket happened to be, right? So... And every now and then I hear somebody happen, you know, you've got siblings and mom and dad trust you and they don't necessarily trust your brother, or your sister, or you're close to home and they're not. And so what people will do is, well, Ken, we're going to leave it all to you, but you take care of your brother and sister. Right. And that sounds so good on paper. I get the point. It just doesn't work from a tax standpoint. So once he took the money and he put it into his IRA, it became taxable. He should have had an inherited IRA that was set up where he would have to take that required minimum distribution. Now, let's presume that he did do it right. I have to split this amount with another sibling, and I need to know what would be the best way to do this. In this situation, would it be possible to gift her the amount? Well, because he botched it, yes, right? He's already paid the taxes on it, on the whole 50 grand. So he's got to give, I mean, if he wants to give her $25,000, he can, right? He can.
Will she be taxed on that?
She would not be taxed on that. He's the one that's already paid the taxes.
So he's taking one for the team here.
He's taking one, and he's got one for the Gipper, right? So when you look at the scenario, though, understand there's a couple different things that are really important in working. He can give her $15,000 a year, just like, Ken, you could give me $15,000 this year Doesn't matter if you're blood related or not. You can give $15,000 to everybody you want. Since if he's married, he could give her 30, right? So if he's married or if his sister is married, either way, in that case, he could give them each 15, and that would cover the $25,000 that he has to give. There are a series of assets. So going back to the family that I took care of, who thought he'd ask me a very basic question: Joe, I inherited $80,000. Is it taxable? Right? I had to email back and go, is it a gift of stock? Did you get $80,000 worth of Apple stock? If you did, then there's no taxes because you get a step up in basis, right? Because because somebody died. Is it cash? Well, cash always has a basis of a dollar. So you never have to pay taxes on the cash unless there's an estate tax problem or you happen to be in an estate that has inheritance. If it was in real estate, again, it's a step up in basis. So what are the two worst things to inherit? That would be a tax-deferred annuity, right? Because the IRS is going to get their pound of flesh. So you put $100,000 in the annuity. It grew to $200,000. You inherited it. You're going to pay taxes, again, at that marginal rate on that $100,000 worth of growth. You don't get a step up in basis in an annuity. They're a bad, bad plan for people that have beneficiaries. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a question. On an IRA, if you're setting up an IRA to be inherited, is there a certain one you've got to select when you create the IRA, or does it have to be in your living will? Say, hey, I'm going to give this IRA to such and such.
Neither. When you open up an IRA, it asks for a beneficiary designation right then and there. In fact, it doesn't matter what your will or your trust say. It's going to go wherever that beneficiary says it goes. So let's say on my 401k, my wife has to be my beneficiary unless she signs off after the marriage. So Barb's the beneficiary. And let's say that I made my contingent beneficiary my trust, right? It's as long as the custodian will play along and your trust is written correctly, that can still work. The majority of time, all of that money is going to be taxed within 5 years. It's truly a mistake. But the worst money that somebody can inherit really is the annuity, not an IRA, but an annuity. Next one that's most taxable that you would least want to inherit would be an IRA. Best one, obviously, is cash, right? But there's a lot of different things you can that you can do with assets. So when somebody asked me that question, is it taxable, right? There are really three different levels of taxation that you have to deal with in any equation. One's estate tax, right? And as we've talked about, for most of us in central Indiana or wherever you're listening to the show, unless you have more than $22 million sitting around, for most of us, we're not going to have to pay any federal state tax. If you're an Indiana resident, there's no longer any inheritance tax. So what's the second type of tax? Well, that's the marginal rate. That's what comes out as income that we made. It's what our interest, our dividends, our capital gains, those kind of things that have different rates depending on what they are. But the third is FICA and FUTA, and that's a Social Security tax. And people often forget that. So, you know, you talked about your daughter being at IU, right? She does she have a job or not?
No, not at IU. Okay. She works in the summertime a little bit, but nothing at IU.
So she works in the summertime and she makes money.
Correct.
Right. And she doesn't file a tax return, most likely.
Correct.
And if you told her that she didn't pay taxes, she'd probably have one Dilger looking at another Dilger, right? same thing that happens with mine. But my daughters don't pay taxes yet at their young age. They don't pay taxes at the marginal rate. They still pay it on Social Security. So every week when she gets that paycheck at work, money comes out. And one of the biggest things, Ken, is people don't understand what that money is and where it's going for, right?
Correct.
You know, every year in January, one of the TV stations will have me on and they'll say, Joe, what should our financial objective be for the year? And the answer ought to be to learn about your 1040, to understand that tax return. I got into this industry 2 weeks before the crash in 1987. I have lived through more volatility than anybody, short of the people who worked in the Great Depression, and they're no longer with us, right? And if you look, the market at the time of this recording is at new record highs, right? Bottom line, when I send a check to the IRS, it does not come back, right? It's a one-hit wonder. Markets go up and down all the time. Pay attention to your 1040, folks. Hey, you got a question or comment? You can give us a call, 800-928-4001, or find us at yourlifeafterwork.com. Ken and I have to take a break, but we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sherry Kontos, co-host for Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money. Find out more at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $300 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. Join Joe and me as we address your questions about money in five key areas: retirement planning, tax planning, investment planning, risk management, and estate planning. And each week we will tackle questions that can make a difference in your life. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. Thousands of doctors, health specialists, and professionals recommend Balance of Nature as a way of improving their health. Listen to a few unsolicited success stories from doctors that use Balance of Nature as well.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants. I take Balance of Nature because I know, I've seen it in my lab, and I know that it works. I've seen the immune response increase, I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection. And that, to me, as a scientist, rings so true.
For a limited time, use discount code RADIO6 to receive a 50% discount on your first preferred whole health system and have it shipped to you free. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com. Again, use discount code RADIO6.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Whether you travel for business, vacations, weekend breakaways, romantic interludes, or family adventures, you'll learn about unique destinations and tips to make your travel smooth, efficient, hassle-free, and inspirational when you listen to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Enjoy our fast-paced show, traveling from beaches to mountaintops, cities to fairy tale castles, whether you're traveling for business or adventure. So pack your bags and join us.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
And we are happy to have you along as well. No, there's plenty of things you could be doing on your Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Thursday or whatever day of the week you listen to the program. Appreciate you having along for the comments and the questions. Really do enjoy those. So we've got good friends that work at Navient, and that's the student loan business for all intents and purposes. So many of us with kids are quite familiar with how the Sallie Mae's and the Navients of the world work. But they do a study every year, Ken, and they call it their Money Under 35. It's a national study conducted by a global research firm. It provides a snapshot of young Americans aged 22 to 35. And what it kind of does is contrast people at different levels of education. Again, they're in the student loan business, and they're trying to show a return on investment, if you will, for that education that comes. So some of the things that you hear that are just astounding, and these patterns are relatively stable over the past 3 years. Just 3 in 10 young Americans are saving for retirement. Just 3 in 10. 4 in 10 believe that saving for retirement can wait. Now, that's an interesting thing. Only 3 in 10 are saving. 4 out of 10 think that they can wait. So I guess the other 3 simply know they need to be doing it, but just aren't. I mean, that's the only thing that I can conclude from that. And as we just talked about in our last conversation, when you think about money, Ken, you're going to go through 3 phases. Of your financial life. We've already been through at our age the accumulation phase. And remember, it really isn't age driven, it's when you start. So I've had some 50-year-olds show up who've never saved a dime. Right? They're starting out, right? But that first phase of finance is accumulation, and you have 2 objectives. One is saving the right percentage of your income, and second, building tax diversification. Critical to understand that. Eventually, you get to the preservation stage, and that's where you may be still saving money, but at the end of the day, it's about taking care of the nest egg, the bigger amount of money that you've already saved. And this is the world where, you know, not that I'm a Ken Fisher fan, but when he talks on his commercials about graduating from mutual funds, that's the, I guess, some of the same philosophy that I would have. What's interesting is that you've got to then begin to land the plane, so to speak, and head into distribution. And that's the part that I see most people ill-prepared for. And the primary reason is because they don't understand their taxes. There is nothing that will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. And you just have to focus on that and be prepared. So back to the money under 35, saving for retirement on it by education level is interesting. 25% of those, one out of four, with a high school education or less, save money. Now, remember, when we go through this, that only 3 out of 10 were saving for retirement. So I always wonder when I get these numbers as they are, because that's clearly one out of four. 25% of those who have some college and no degree are saving. 31% of people with associate degree holders are saving. 38% with advanced degree holders are saving. And 45% when they only have a bachelor's degree are saving. So apparently they want to get some education and just get to work. Student debt is not preventing young adults who have completed a degree for saving for retirement, they conclude. However, those who do not have student loans are able to save more. For example, bachelor's degree holders who have paid off their student loans would have saved nearly twice as much as those who are working on a repayment. $47,000, and I'm not sure where they came up with these numbers, but $47,000 for the ones who are paying down a loan versus $25,000 for the ones who just paid the cost. Degree holders that borrowed for college, 42% of them that are saving now. Degree holders still has some student loans, only 38% of them are saving, and no degree, only 25% of them are saving. So some staggering numbers. But when Einstein was on his deathbed, allegedly, I was not there, but he allegedly said he's not sure what the seven wonders of the world are, but he's certain that the eighth wonder, Ken, was compound interest. And it is so true, just watching money be able to make more money and more money and more money. And the more years you have, the more amazing that becomes. So,
yeah, I agree. And, being in the mortgage business, you see a lot of people come through and with a lot of student debt. But the millennials are interesting just because we have to change the way we're doing things and marketing to millennials. A lot of them are not buying houses right now. But the ones who are, they're very tech savvy. They want to text. They don't want to speak on the phone. And they all are, you know, we do a lot of e-sign documents, and they love that just because they can sit from their computer at home and get things done as far as on the mortgage business. So this is interesting to see, and it's not shocking.
No, it's not. And the frustrating part is when younger people come in, it seems to be a dramatic spread. You get the haves, the ones that are doing the right things, and the ones that have not. In my entire career, I have never seen so many people under 30 with $100,000 in cash. That just never happened when I was that age that we saw that happen. At the same time, I see people come in and literally have $200,000 of student debt. I go, how in the world are you going to make this fly? You know, I have prayers for you, but no wisdom. Yeah, I hope the education was worth it. And in many cases, it's a problem. We had a family come in not too long ago and said, I need to know how to help my kids. You know, one of them had $180,000 worth of debt. You know, how do I help her? And I go, well, you don't. You can either help her and have no retirement, or you can let her figure this out on her own, because it's not going to be a pretty picture, regardless of where you are. When you take a credit app, when somebody's trying to apply for a home, how difficult do you find the discussion to understand credit score? Are your younger people getting it pretty quickly?
Yeah, they are. And the interesting thing is, you know, we see everything on the credit report, whether it's student loans, whether it's a bankruptcy or foreclosure, and even a lien or adjustment. And people really don't know what's on their credit report. You know, we talk to them about, hey, do you have any past stuff that we need to know about? It's like, no, everything's good. Then all of a sudden, especially the younger kids who move from apartment to apartment, there's always going to be a little utility bill or cable bill or phone bill that they've missed. And so it's good to check your credit at least once a year. But a lot of them are finding out pretty quickly that, hey, I want to buy a house and my credit score is 550 and they're 30 years old. You know, the question is, okay, what did you do to get a 550 credit score? And then they really don't realize that missing a car payment is going to drop – Right. Your credit score down enough below where we couldn't get them financed.
With credit score, higher number better, lower number bad. Right.
Correct.
So 550 is a tough number. And folks, they use it for everything. So if you're one of the millennials that's listening to this, like your car insurance premium is based on your credit score. The interest rate you pay on your credit cards is based on your credit score. So it's pay close attention to it, monitor it, and be prepared for the next stages of your life. I tell you, there was one that, you know, we recently found. My wife went to one of the department stores, and if you got a card, you got a discount that day. She didn't tell me, and you know, $25 bill, you know, so that it's and I'm 51 and know this stuff, so you know, it can happen very easily. So I just tell people, don't open up cards for any kind of discount. That's my answer. Hey, you've been listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. We hope you have a very wonderful week. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.